Hello, my magical friends. My name's Ayumi. My pronouns are she, her, hers. And you're listening to Sparkle Side Chats with Magical Girl Ayu. Whether it's your first or 120th time listening, we welcome you to our space to celebrate magical girls from every corner of the world. Happy Friday. Let's get into the second creator episode of the week. So of course there are a lot of webcomics out there, and there's still a lot more left to go in terms of what's out there to talk to people about on the podcast. But today's episode I'm very excited about because it's something that has come up a lot where people have really, really wanted to talk about it or have me talk to people about it. And that is Magical Mom. So Magical Mom started out as an animated short, which we do talk about as well. And it was such a delightful little thing that just was so charming. And of course, I, like many, really wanted there to be something more. So when I found out through actually a former guest of the podcast that there was, in fact, a continuation of the story, I, like many, was very excited. And what's more, I'm also so happy to see that it is so popular and successful and many people are reading it. And if you're not reading it already, you definitely should be as well. Magical Mom is available on both Webtoon and Tapas, so you should check it out. And I was very delighted to talk to two of the creators today, the writer and storyboarder, Prin or Prinstar, and Chuni, who is the main artist. Of course, they're not the only people in the creative team, so I made sure to link to absolutely everyone that I got social media links for in the show notes, so you can just go and follow everyone because every single member of the team is important to be acknowledged. Today is also going to be a little bit of a unique chat because, well, Prin and Juni are Thai and based in Thailand, and while Juni does understand English, she didn't feel comfortable enough with speaking English. So as requested, what we did instead was have her speak in her native Thai, and Prin was kind enough to translate what she said for me to make sure I followed because I don't understand any Thai. And for that reason, this is a slightly longer chat than would be expected, but I think you'll find it very delightful. And it was very important to honestly me as well as to Prin to make sure that Chuni was heard despite any language barriers because she is a valuable member of the creative team. So this particular comic is a little bit longer going. If you have not read the comic at all, I would say to please read at least the very first arc before jumping into the conversation, just to get you a lot more context. We don't talk a lot about like the events of the second arc per se, though they are very exciting. We kind of kept it a little bit spoiler free today, but I do think that, you know, at the very least, you should read the first arc. You'll probably have a good guess about when abouts that is. And while there are warnings in the story for, you know, some not okay behavior with some of the characters, they're always presented as negative things. And also there is very fair warning in the episodes or chapters where there are such characters and so on. So, you know, you can feel safe in reading the story. I do think that it is generally a really great read for pretty much anyone. If you enjoy magical girls, whether you are a kid or an adult, and I know a lot of teenagers listen, and I know a lot of adults listen, I think that this is definitely the kind of story that can be appreciated by all generations. I hope in the future that we have more stories like Magical Mom, and I also just generally am very excited to see what is next for the story. So yeah, with that, I think it's time to get to today's conversation with Prin and Chuni about their comic Magical Mom. So I am very excited for today's episode because we are here to talk about Magical Mom. And I have two very lovely guests today. Can you please introduce yourselves?
I'm Pren. I write Magical Mom. I also worked on the animated short film. Yep. Cool to be here.
Yeah.
I'm Chun-Li. I'm at the SD of the Magical Mom. Yes.
Great. And if it's okay to ask, may I have your pronouns?
She.
It's he, him here.
Perfect. Okay. Great. So, yes, very excited to talk about your story. I've had a lot of requests for this topic as well. So before we get started with talking about Magical Mom, I'd like to hear from both of you about your history with Magical Girls.
Okay. I think what we're going to do is I'm going to let Chun-Li answer in Thai first.
Okay.
Right now? Okay.
Uh-huh. Go. ถ้าส่วนตัวเราก็ดูพวกการ์ตูนสอนร้อยเวทมนต์ตอนเด็กๆอ่ะนะคะก็พวกพริตตี้เคียวแม่มดน้อยโดเรมีหรือว่าการ์ดแคปเจอร์ซากุระอะไรแบบนี้ก็ตอนเด็กๆก็ดูตั้งแต่อนุบาลถึงประถมเลยก็โอเค
โอเค Chun-Li is saying that she mainly grew up on I think you might have heard of the names. What was that? Card Capture Sakura?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what else was that? Pretty Cure?
Okay. I heard Pretty Cure and Doremi and
Doremi, yeah. Which is actually exactly the ones I grew up watching too, but also add Sailor Moon into that.
Mm-hmm.
I am a little bit older, and I think I caught the Sailor Moon stuff when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sounds very generic.
No. But, it's popular for a reason.
I think for me, the history feels a little like sparse because, you know, growing up in Thailand as a boy, eventually I hit an age. I think we both mentioned we were watching these things up until like elementary school.
Hmm.
And then the boys would start making fun of you. Or watching them. So for me, I kind of grew out of Magical Girls, unfortunately, and actually sort of came back in when I started having to do research for the animated short.
Hmm.
And then I got way into it again. Completely. Yeah, it's like I missed a lot of it, you know, like the late 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
From that point, I missed a lot of it. And then I came back to, I think, well, the Magical Mom animated short made me do research, and a lot of the stuff that I started researching was like the newer Pretty Cure.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that one called? Little Witch Academia? Like,
yes.
The animated movie and then like the series that followed.
Mm.
Chun-Li mentioned that she also watched up until elementary school and sort of drifted off from that too.
I see. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. So I guess, in terms of like, because those are, you know, obviously very big names, but with you both growing up in Thailand, are there a lot of magical girls in Thailand, generally speaking, with, I guess, children's media?
Yeah, Sailor Moon is like everywhere for a bit. Yeah. I think it was like really big. And it was like the reason we watched the same shows growing up, I think, is because those were the shows that were on like the local cable in the morning, the Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Were these dubbed into Thai usually?
Yes. I think we both grew up watching dubbed ones.
Getting into Magical Mom, I'd like to start from, you know, I guess its origin point. So for anyone who hasn't either watched the animated short, as you mentioned, or read the comic yet, what basically is Magical Mom about?
Basically, it is about, it's a magical girl family story where the magical girl is dealing with a lot more motherly issues and also the complications that come with her son also trying to become a magical boy.
Yeah, so it's very cute. The beginning of the webtoon does get into kind of the story of the short as well from what I could see. But just getting started with the short itself, how did that come about, like that project?
So for this, I'll just mention briefly that I think Shuni wouldn't be able to say much about this at all. So the short, it was like a college thesis project, which took about a year and a half to 2 years to complete. And it came about, strictly speaking, just as a college project at first, right? We had to pitch a few story ideas to be made into an animated short film.
Mm-hmm.
And Magical Mom was the one that made the cut. Basically, everyone in my team liked it enough, and the faculty at the college liked it enough that they agreed on us making that. And it actually started as like this drunken suggestion. Yeah, so it didn't sound great at all. Like, I actually am a little bit ashamed of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it started off as a dark comedy idea about a washed up star, the kind where she's like 50 and older and tired looking and smoking cigars, reminiscing about her younger magical girl days.
Mm.
So that was what the idea started as. And it was supposed to be some kind of dark comedy, edgy kind of piece. Of course, my partners on the project at the time automatically vetoed that idea. So I was working with my friend, whose name is Alan Zhang. He's right now a pretty professional storyboard artist working in the US.
Hmm.
He went over my idea because we were like going through every single possibility to try and come up with the best possible like story for a project. And, you know, he was brainstorming my idea, sort of turning it into something more heartwarming. And then he came up with a skeleton for what Magical Mom would become. So credit to him there. And, you know, and we worked together and it went from there. So it started at a really weird place, I think.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And then we wanted to make it more cute and heartwarming. So we did.
Yeah, it definitely is very heartwarming for sure. So I guess, you know, I remember the short really kind of, I don't know if like go viral is quite the right term for like indie magical girl stuff, but like it definitely went around pretty quickly, I feel like.
Yes, it was the Goku hair thumbnail, I think. We were very scientifically trying to find the best thumbnail for that. And yes, we were banking on it. We were like, all right, we gotta get this viral. Not for anything. We don't get money for it because it's on like a different channel.
Right.
Not our channel. We just wanted it to get out because we spent 2 years pretty much not torturing ourselves working on it, but like going through torturous conditions, getting it done.
Yeah.
So we wanted as many people to see as possible.
Yeah, so yes, yeah.
Very shameless thumbnail there.
You got to do what works to get the attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think for me, I remember hearing about it because, like, in general, the kind of twist on the classic magical girl and, like, having an older, like, magical woman is always very interesting in general. But I found that, like, yeah, it was just going around a lot because I think, like you said, it's a very heartwarming story. And then, like, the idea of, like, I guess at that point it was just, like, you know, the mom protecting the kid and, like, having all this cool action and stuff. And also it was just, you know, very wonderfully animated in general. So, yeah, just, like, I just kept seeing it everywhere. And then I remember getting very excited when I found out there was going to be a webtoon and, like, the story was continuing. And so, yeah, how did you get started with moving on from the animated short to the webtoon?
That's fun. Fun question. So one thing I thought made it catch on, and this is what I'd like to think it is. I don't know if it's true, but I'd like to think that we sort of successfully gave a lot of heart and entertainment into like an idea that's not entirely unique.
Mm-hmm.
We just sort of like try to execute it in the most like genuine way we can, you know, sort of we were drawing from our own moms at the time. I think the theme behind it at first was sort of drawing comparisons between the son and the mom's relationship to our relationships with our parents as second generation immigration kids.
Mm-hmm.
So not for me, but like for two of my other teammates, they're second generation.
Oh, okay.
In the US. Yeah. Mm. So they immigrated when their parents immigrated and they were born there, and they have this like disconnect with their culture, right? And the parents' culture. And they're embarrassed about it usually when they're young, and then they grow to appreciate it as they grow older. And I think I had that a little bit because my mom couldn't speak English well. So when she came to pick me up at school when I was a transfer student in the UK, I would get embarrassed too. So we were just drawing out that kind of like being embarrassed about your parents thing and what they do and who they are, and kind of put that into the film. And I think that's the main theme. Like, we weren't trying to talk about immigration. We were just sort of bringing out what we felt about our parents into the story.
Yeah.
So that's the short film. And then moving on to the comic, it wasn't planned at all, really. I didn't know I was going to revisit it. But I think 2-3 years after the film release, 2 years maybe after the film release, I found myself working as a storyboard artist, revisionist, actually, at a studio in Thailand. And Chunni was there too. So we were co-workers. And I just peeked at her drawings a lot, and they were like really good. So I'm like, hey, do you like magical girls? That's it. That's how it started, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Chunni wants to add anything to that.
Yeah, yeah, I'd love to hear like your side of joining the project.
ก็ตอนนั้นก็ว่ามันน่าสนใจดีไงแต่ก็นึกภาพไม่ค่อยออกนะแต่ก็คิดว่าก็อยากมีร่วมงานด้วยอ่ะอยากเป็นส่วนหนึ่งในงานอะไรอย่างเงี้ยแต่ก็คิดอยู่ว่ามันมีอะไรหลายอย่างที่จะต้องจูนเข้าหากันแล้วก็ปรับให้มันเป็นคอมิกที่เป็นซีรีส์ยาวอะไรแบบนั้นมันก็มีหลายอย่างที่เห็นด้วยกับพี่แล้วก็ไม่เห็นด้วยก็ตบตีกันอยู่ปีนึงปะ
เราจำไม่ได้แล้วว่าเราไม่เห็นด้วยอะไรแต่มันก็มีเนาะ
ก็เยอะเช่นแบบมันจะมีตัวละครที่เป็นผีในเรื่องพี่ยังจำได้ใช่ไหม
ใช่ใช่ใช่โอเคแล้วก็มีหลายอย่างที่เปลี่ยนเหมือนเราว่าอาจจะพูดว่ามันเปลี่ยนให้มันแบบมันติดดินลงอะไรอย่างงี้ป่ะนิดนึงในแง่นึง
มันไม่ได้เป็นการวางแผนมากขึ้นดีกว่ามั้ย
มีการวางโอเคแล้วเดี๋ยวเราตอบเขาต่อโอเค we're done
okay
I think those are actually us sort of like figuring outwhat happened.
Okay.
I don't think we remember 100%. Mm-hmm. Okay, so to add to that, Chunni said that, yeah, at first, this is Chunni talking, at first it was very interesting to sort of be part of that project because she saw the short film and then liked it, but didn't really think about anything until I approached her and asked if she wanted to collaborate on something.
Mm.
And she was very interested, but also felt like there was a lot that she liked about the idea and a lot that she didn't necessarily think would work a long form comic. So we had like, in her words, we were like fighting for like a year on like the nuts and bolts, how it's going to come out. We had the same idea of wanting to do this family oriented magical girl, magical son story. But there were a lot of like aesthetic differences in how I envisioned things and how she envisioned things. And like, I think at first it was very unplanned. I was like, yo, let's just do this. and she fought for more planning. So we went ahead and like spent like about a year finicking around, changing the characters around. Like they actually, their nationality changed. Their names changed a little bit. Their personality was like ironed out, where in the short film, because it's a short film, we went for the more generic, straightforward character traits. And then we added more, we added more texture, I guess, to the comic versions of the character. They're still kind of the same character, but they feel a lot more human now to us, which we're happy about. And yeah, so she only agreed 100% to do it after we ironed out all the creases. And the short of it for me is that I just thought her drawings were like super duper like soft and cute. And I thought I really liked working on the short film. It was a very personal story to me. So I wanted to, you know, work on that somehow, but having a full-time job, and also, frankly, you know, I can't do what Chunyi can do. And having a teammate is really good because she can focus on her part of it, and I can focus on my part of it. So we're doing a lot less. You know, a lot of people will do like a webtoon comic on their own. I can't imagine how they do that, but that might just be because we both are really busy with full-time jobs.
Right. Yeah. If it's okay to ask, what are you both doing now these days as your regular jobs, I guess?
I'll still be a storyboard artist this day. Yeah. Animation studio. Yeah.
I'm also at an animation studio, but I am now, I've always been more of an animator. So I was working at a storyboard for a while and then I changed back to animation. So like 3D animation. So
Ah,
right
I
now I'm
see.
still doing 3D animation.
Interesting. Pretty cool. Yeah. Animation's a lot. It's a very important job for this genre. So, yeah, definitely really awesome that that's your regular job, and then you're also doing this comic, on the side. And it's my understanding there's at least another person on the team.
Yes, the colorist, Ink Kun. She came in like a lot later, I think. Because so before we had like Jennifer Yang, who was one of the people working on the short film doing colors. And then she got too busy and then she couldn't do it anymore. So we had to get someone else. And I think Ink Kun came in about chapter three, chapter four. So she came in really early. So she's as much part of the team, I feel, but at the same time, she also didn't really like do all the prep work before the comic started that me and Trini were doing. So she doesn't really know as much, like deeply about the process.
I see. That makes sense. Yeah, what is the process like these days if you're working on a new update for Magical Mom?
It's very much a pipeline. What's it called? The You know, the factory lines?
Sure,
Yeah,
yeah.
very much a factory line. So each episode takes in total about, well, this is hard to say because we've had short episodes and long episodes. On average, an episode now would be like 10, 15, 20 panels, depending. And that takes about 3, 4 weeks, I don't know, of process. So it starts with me writing the script, and then that takes a week. And then I do like storyboarding, plan things out, plan the panels out, sort of put down where all the characters are and what expressions they're making and what lines they're saying when, right? That takes a week usually. And then Chunyi takes that storyboard and she make some fixes, make some adjustments, pushes things to make them prettier, and then lines them out. And then that takes another week. And then the last week is the coloring, which is what Ink Kun does. And then we have one episode, which so roughly about a month each episode, but we're trying to do weekly or bi-weekly. We haven't been able to keep that schedule that much, but the fact that we can do bi-weekly is because we're always to go doing like much further ahead than the update schedule. So let's say we update on the 1st of September. I'll already be writing for a chapter that's supposed to be updating like at the end of October on the 1st of September, if you get that. So it's very much like I'm writing a lot ahead, Shuni is drawing a bit ahead, and Inkung is coloring a week ahead, and then we get everything done and compile it.
Cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. So, who would you say is the target audience for Magical Mom?
At first, I was thinking children ages 10, 11 to 16, even like really young children, is what I wanted to aim at first because I just have this very strong passion about children's media. And I have a strong passion about children's media because I feel like children deserve really good stuff. But at the same time, corporates don't want children to have good stuff. They just want to flood, you know, channels with loud, obnoxious music or, you know, super flashy colors and like super quick cuts. Characters doing a lot of physical gags. So it's just attention grabbing, you know, not necessarily good developmentally.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a strong passion for that, and that's what I wanted to gear Magical Mom the comic towards. The short film was more like a really fun parody love letter, you know, like self-indulgent, and then the comic I felt was me trying to actually give something, contribute something towards the magical girl genre, as well as contributing something towards like children's media, you know, young adult media.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was surprised to know that there's a lot of like 20 plus, 30 plus audiences too. We find that out in the comments section, which is very nice. I very enjoy just, you know, discovering that, oh, someone is, you know, a mother of three and they really like how we portrayed Pai Lin, the mom.
Hmm.
And that's very nice to hear from, because it means we're resonating with more people than just our initial target audience, which is very exciting.
Sure, of course. I think that, I mean, that's one thing that's, you know, true for Magical Girls in general, is that a lot of the shows that are for very young kids are still very enjoyable for a wider audience, just because like you said, it's a good story, you know, just a good product.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, does everyone on the team read the comments for the comic?
I'm not sure what if Inkun reads as much, but I know me and Chunyi do, and I read most of the comments, I would say. Like, it's only when I'm too busy and then I can't scroll through all of them like that week or something, and I forget to come back for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally read all of it because it's free feedback for writing.
Sure.
It's like, oh, people like this part, people didn't respond to this part, people didn't mind this part, you know, things like that. When this happened, people didn't mind how violent it was, things, you know. And then I keep mental notes of like what's okay and what's not okay, what works with our audience. I think I'm a bit methodical that way, in that I don't really just write from the heart. I write from like data too. So I bring a lot of it from my personal experience, but then I kind of temper it with like what I learned from the comment section, which is my feedback, my go-to feedback. She says all of it as well. And I think me and her, we hype each other up with the comments. You know, because it's like very stressful working on Magical Mom because of juggling it with the full-time job.
Sure.
So it's very much fuel when someone even just writes, heart, wow, you know. That becomes fuel for us to keep working on it.
Yeah. I just think, you know, every aspect of it is so charming. So I definitely understand why it's as popular as it is. And it's very fun to see the comments, even just as another reader, to see like what people are resonating with. And I know sometimes you do like Q&As and stuff like that as well. So I really enjoyed how, I guess more recently, there was the kind of like popularity contest with all the characters, and that was really fun to see like the kind of general reaction. Some of the things make sense, but you know,
we really wanted to do that. Just we were excited to, you know, to know not necessarily who would be top two, because we kind of figured that out.
That's a little obvious, I think.
Yeah, but then we wanted to know the third place and up to the sixth, I think, was the most exciting one. And that was fun. And we tried to do a few Q&As, and that was because, like, starting off, we wanted to make sure that everyone knows that we're a team. It's not just me, because, you know, the Canvas section of Webtoon, they only allow one author to sign up, and that's how they credit it.
Right.
I haven't found a way around that. So we wanted to very early on show ourselves as, hey, it's like three people, it's not just me. And that's the reason for the early Q&A.
Yeah. It's great to be able to have that. And I know, like, just in general, it's always really cool to get to look behind the scenes for any project, really. So I guess story-wise, I wanted to ask a bit about, because like you said, this you have this idea of it being more of a child-friendly series, but it does have its dark points. So I kind of wanted to ask about, I guess, the 10th place out of 10, Sada's father. We don't have a name for his alter ego.
We don't.
But yeah.
I don't know if we have a name for the alter ego.
Oh,
I think that's still being debated. Mm-hmm. But we do have all of the skeletons of his character. We have that, as in we already know who he is supposed to be in the story. Mm. What's his journey? But we're keeping that a little bit hush-hush because we wanted to get the Darth Vader effect.
Interesting.
Yeah, we wanted to make... He is definitely an antagonist-type character.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to keep him that way. We don't want to show much of his character because I think that works better for someone who the main characters have to come into conflict with, even though it's a father. But yeah.
Yeah, okay. It was definitely very surprising because, you know, like you said, like the story is so wholesome a lot of the time, especially with just like the main relationship, you know, the mother-child relationship. But like, you know, seeing that, like, this is the father, like, how did this happen? You know, it was definitely a lot of that. So I'm definitely, like, really curious about, like, how this is going to play out, because there's also this idea of, like, the superhero versus the magical girl kind of, like, dynamic as well, which I think is really interesting. Yeah, I don't know how intentional that was, but, yeah.
I think it was very intentional, as you can see that we were rehashing, sort of retelling and probably making it a little deeper, like the short film story into like the first arc of the comic, right?
Mm.
And then because that story was like a retelling of the short film, we wanted something to hook the audience into like a new kind of journey, right? Something that you haven't really seen before. You didn't expect coming, so you would have a lot of questions, and we wanted to hook the audience in with those questions. So, like, bam, here's the dad. That's the intention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still, we were keeping it true. For me, as a writer, I'm keeping it true to my story, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the characters are drawn from, like, my personal experiences, and, you know, this father character is also drawn from something that is sort of, like, important to me. It's not just like a cheap, you know, gimmick villain or anything. It's coming from somewhere, but we also intentionally put him there immediately as the first arc ended because we knew that he would be, you know, a good hook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
there's definitely a lot of interesting kind of, like, I guess there are a lot of different, like, classic archetypes, you know, because we have like a dark magical girl also, and Iris, and then like this scene kind of getting more of the past as we move along as well is very fun. But yeah, I'm curious, do both of you have favorite characters, like, to, I guess, either write or draw?
Okay, let's have Shuni answer this first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. รักใครเป็นพิเศษนะคือชอบทุกตัวแต่ว่าถ้าวาดสนุกสุดก็คงเป็นไอริส
โอเคเดี๋ยวตอบ okay so she said definitely she likes all the characters sort of like you know because they're our children pretty much right
mm-hmm.
so no favorites in terms of like who they are or what stories they're telling
okay.
but she definitely likes drawing Iris the most
oh interesting
yeah
mm-hmm. I'm curious as to why
Why?
โพสต์มั้งแบบว่าความโพสต์มันชัดมันไดนามิกแล้วก็เรื่องอารมณ์มันจะค่อนข้างเขาเรียกว่าอะไรอะที่แบบว่ามันเห็นได้ชัดอะคาแรคเตอร์มันชัดอะไรเงี้ยเชฟ
โอเค so she says it's mostly how like clear and like dynamicthe way she moves or the way she expresses herself in her faces. So it's like, and it's fun to draw in that regard. Like, you know, cool poses, crazy expressions.
Yeah. Her power.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah. She's a very strong personality.
Personally, I like drawing Magical Mom because I just draw her as a snowman usually in the storyboards. In the storyboards, okay. She's just in the storyboards, she is just one round ball on top of another round ball and with like tiny legs sticking out, just doing cute
stuff.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's so cute, and I think it's so interesting because, like, for me, I mean, I guess one of the reasons why, like, Magical Mom for me personally is, like, so striking is just the fact that, like, she has my body type. It's like, oh, it's so exciting. Mm-hmm. It's like she looks like me. You know, I'm not a mom myself, maybe someday, but, well, I'm in my 30s, so I'm getting there. Mm-hmm. But it's very cool to see, like, you know, because we do get to see, like, how she looked when she was younger, and there's, like, there's no comments made about, like, how her body type changed or anything. It's just like, I guess the natural way of things. It's like things happen, you know, to people. Their body types change.
Yeah, but it was her body was actually very important to us, I think. Like, so in animation we have things called like a character Bible. So that would like sort of like control the limits of what we can do with certain characters, both in writing and animating and storytelling and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we sort of set in stone for this project was that we're never going to make fun of Pai Lin's body.
Mm.
It's never going to be played for laughs because that's not like the point of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that we were always going to approach it as, you know, she's just very endearing and appealing and attractive as a character. Just happens to be this body type. We see too many, especially like Asian media, I think. We grow up seeing too much of that. And we're not talking about magical not girls or like animated media, but just media in general.
Yeah.
We see too much of the body type itself being played for laughs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that was one thing we really care about. So we were like, okay, this is one thing we're not going to do with the character, and that's make fun of her body.
I'm sure I'm not the only one who appreciates that. So
the other thing is we were going to have no panty shots. That was very
interesting. Yeah. It hadn't even crossed my mind.
Yeah, I think that was Chunyi's idea.
Oh.
Yeah. Chunyi is very adamant about like, no panty shots. And I'm like, yeah, but like, what if we get like 18 plus Patreon for it? No.
Oh my God.
No. Yeah, that's a joke. I joked to her about that, but she doesn't. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
There we go. Definitely a big no.
แค่อยากจะบอกว่าจริงๆก็ชอบวาดแม่เหมือนกันไม่ใช่บอดี้ไทยที่ได้วาดบ่อยๆอะไรมันได้วาดอะไรที่ให้ดิมตลอดเวลามันก็ฟิตอยู่เหมือนกันอะไร
โอเค all right Chunyi wanted to add that she actually now that she thought about it she actually really likes drawing mom Pai Lin too because she's very soft and it's not a body type that she gets to draw a lot is what she mentioned and I think that speaks to the industryBecause she's doing storyboard for like animated projects that's coming out, right?
And
she doesn't really get to draw this body type. So that says that there's not a lot of this
right
out there. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So she likes that part of it.
Mm-hmm. She is very soft. Yeah, it's true. It's great. Yeah, definitely is like a great role model and everything for sure. It seems like we're kind of in like the second... I'm not sure if chapter is the right term, but like second arc with what's going on now. So how long do you expect the story to end up being?
So I think you got it right that we kind of organize this in arcs and the chapters numbers don't really make sense because like we have the comic on Tapas too. And the chapters are different because we ended up separating stuff differently to experiment with different lengths of like how much an episode should contain. So the chapter number gets a little weird. So we just have arcs and we are on the second arc and we're going to start the third arc. Hopefully sometime at the beginning of next year, we'll have the third arc ready. It's hard to say if this is going to be entirely accurate, but in my head, I think we want to tell the story for about six arcs. So we're not halfway there yet, even. And I think... how much we can tell will actually depend a lot on where the project goes in the coming years. Because if it remains a canvas series where we are working on it part-time on weekends with our full-time job, we can only do so much. And we're going to have to cut out a lot of the fat, you know, and only keep the meat. So like the sixth arc could be a lot shorter than a sixth arc where, you know, maybe Webtoon picks us up and decides to make us, you know, more contractual base. And then that might change how much we can produce. But yeah, mm-hmm. the overall story structure is that we're on the second arc. First arc was like an introduction to the world. Second arc is like Sarah's start of his journey. And then we were going to go with that for like a few arcs and then have a conclusion arc on the sixth arc.
Mm.
This is going to be a squad type show. So he is going to have a squad. And oh, so that's good. Why we need like, yeah, we'll need like one or two arcs for each of them at the very least.
Awesome. I was going to ask if we were going to see more magical people. So
yes, definitely. It's yeah. He's going to have a whole squad going on. How many, that remains to be seen. But yeah, it won't just be him and mom.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a bunch of other people.
Awesome. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's definitely very exciting. yeah, and, you know, his costume is so adorable. And I definitely was, like, so excited when, like, he got to transform again and, you know, got a name and everything. And I really enjoyed, like, the kind of way that you used his character to like kind of explain a lot of the magic. And I haven't mentioned yet, but the cat is also a great character.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You have a lot more of him. They need to have a mascot, right?
Right.
An animal mascot. They need to have that. But just with everything else in the story, we really hope that with all the generic elements that make up a magical girl story, that we actually add a lot of like humanity or heart to like the characters in a way that hopefully stands out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the cat does have his own journey coming.
Oh, okay.
He's not going to be getting an arc, well, not a main character of an arc, but he will definitely have a lot of like developments to go through. For example, and this isn't put in the forefront, but we start with him being pretty much indifferent or like annoyed at, you know, the kid, Sarah, and now sort of warming up to the idea that he could be more than just a bratty kid and helping him along and guiding him. That's like the comment section would say, is the cat going to be more of a father figure than the dad? And,
well,
and we were kind of, yeah, we are going that route. We definitely go in that route where he's warming up to become a guiding figure.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I find that one of the things that seems to be kind of a constant, as at least from the first arc, what we've seen is like the kind of reaction to, I guess, Pylin originally being, you know, magical, lovely, like becoming a mom and kind of like putting down the wand, if you will, and in, you know, originally like kind of quitting being a magical girl for the sake of motherhood. I think it's really interesting to see like how that choice had created a whole bunch of reactions from different characters, basically. Yeah, I don't know if that was like an intentional commentary on anything, but I thought it was a very interesting kind of thing to see story-wise from a lot of different characters.
I think that's one way I'd like to write the story, is that I don't really want to give out answers to these. You know, more complex circumstances people go through. I didn't want to make a commentary on if it's right or wrong or good or bad for her that she retired, but I'm just writing it out as like, she's retired. There's a good reason for her to retire, but there's also like bad effects on her. Like she doesn't seem happy with her life, you know, outside of magical girl life. But at the same time, she chose to do that because she had to take care of a child, things like that. Not good or bad, just is, and then they struggle with it, you know, they struggle with their choices. And then hopefully at the end of the story, they come out on top.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's definitely something that came from my mother, though. She did something similar where she sort of like paused her career for me. And that's sort of what I tried to bring to the comic, I guess.
Yeah, that definitely feels like a very real experience that a lot of people have with, especially their mothers in particular. Yeah. Thinking about like the general influences of magical mom, what do you think that like both, I guess, story-wise and also visually is brought into the comic.
ส่วนมากถ้าเป็นเรื่อง art style หรือกล้องหรือ dynamic อะไรพวกนี้เราก็ reference มาจากพวก studio trigger anime จากค่ายนั้นนะส่วนใหญ่อะไรแบบนี้ก็การ์ตูนที่แบบว่าคือด้วยความที่ค่ายนี้มันดูแบบเป็นส่วนผสมระหว่างความเป็นอนิเมะของญี่ปุ่นกับความเป็นตะวันตกอะไรประมาณนั้นก็เลยเป็น reference ที่ดีอะไรประมาณนี
้ so Chuni is saying okay, she was saying that most of the artistic influences come from Studio Trigger's work.
Oh, okay.
So like Little Witch, right? Kill la Kill. Mm-hmm. She says that it's just a lot of like the dynamic shots of the action and like the expressions of the characters are very pushed and expressive in a way that sort of marries more like anime style with like a Western cartoony style. And she sort of like the idea that Magical Mom should be something that's like palatable for like people from both backgrounds.
Hmm.
So she sort of brought that in.
I see. That makes sense. Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think we referenced Studio Trigger for the animated short too. So we were working with just a lot of Trigger references. a lot of shots from the animated shows they do. They have other influence. Story influence. I feel like I have a good answer for this yesterday and I forgot. So one thing that comes to mind is Mulan. Disney's Mulan. I don't know why that comes to mind, but that's one of my favorite movies, so it must be influencing me. The Incredibles.
That makes sense.
The family dynamic of superheroics. Mm-hmm. And the entertainment, like the fun stuff, comes from that. Mulan, I think, is like the whole like sort of identity and personal worth and value being tied to that and sort of rising above that, I think, is a big influence on Magical Mom, the writing part. Honestly, my influence is Chuni too. I think as a writer, you also feed off of like your artist. I don't think she knows that. Sometimes she'll like sort of add expressions to the characters that I storyboarded out in a way that's surprising. And that just sort of becomes part of the character going forward, right? And I start writing them slightly differently because she adds something to them, and now I'm working with that now. So it's been interesting to like see how I'm being influenced by someone I'm working with too. So yeah, I think Mulan, Incredibles, Avatar, but I don't know why that's an influence. All the Precure are like big influences in terms of like how like I think unapologetically feminine they get. You know, it's very cool. And sometimes the ridiculousness of like the magical girl powers are very fun in Precure. I think it used to be a little more tame, you know, during the Sailor Moon era, and then during the Precure era, it just went crazy. You know, like Hardcatch had like a Precure transform into a giant Precure with like brass knuckles and then punching someone, but then also like in a very heartwarming way just tap that chest and it's dead. It was ridiculous, but it was great. And that's a lot of influence that comes into like how Magical Mom, I wish we were trying to make the power set feel like a marriage of that ridiculousness, but also like grounding it into like pretending like, oh, this world has other superheroes, not just magical girls. They're all using the same power set. It's just the magical girls are making it look ridiculous. Not ridiculous, but they're making it look a lot flashier. You know, and then I think in the story, you will see more people who use powers who aren't that flashy and they have their own ways of doing things.
Yeah.
That dragged on into something else a little bit.
I do think it's great that you managed to write in a way to like kind of explain the existence of both, you know, like magical people and superheroes as you might know them from a kind of different perspective. So that's pretty fun. So, of course, you both work in animation. How does that compare to working on Magical Mom?
ก็คืองานหลักแล้วก็ทำสตอรี่บอร์ดพวกอย่างตอนนี้ที่ทำอยู่ก็ Warhammer อะไรอย่างนี้ใช่ไหมซึ่งมันต่างแบบเหมือนคนละด้านกันเลยแบบงานระหว่าง Warhammer กับ Magical Mom แล้วมันคือ Warhammer ตอนกลางวันตอนกลางคืนนั่งวาด Magical Mom อะไรเงี้ยมันปรับมูดแบบยากมากอะไรเงี้ยใช่ก็ในอนาคตเราก็อยากจะเลือกสายใดสายหนึ่งนะแบบว่า อาจจะอยากไปเป็นอาร์ติสต์รับงานฟรีแลนซ์มากกว่าเป็นพนักงานประจำสตอรี่บอร์ดหรืออะไรก็ว่าไปแล้วที่จริงเป็นสตอรี่บอร์ดฟรีแลนซ์ก็ได้นะจะได้เลือกงานได้เลือกงานได้มากขึ้นใช่ใช่อาจจะได้ทำงานที่แบบเป็นโปรเจกต์ส่วนตัวมากขึ้นเลยโอเค
alright so Chuni's answer is she's currently working on Warhammer Story Wars right now if you're familiar with that Warhammer
oh yeah mm-hmm.
blood gore and all that she says she has huge issues transitioning between those two projects because she would be finding herself working on you know big hulking people killing each other and then at night she'll be coming back home and then she'll start you know getting storyboards for me and like oh you know hearts and hugging and kids being cute she says it's actually really hard to like tune her mindset towards each project she's been struggling with that that's what she says on the future projects she thinks that she really has to choose at a certain point if she's going to be doing like full-time studio or come out and like do more like freelance gigs to have more of her own time to do her own personal project and she is sort of leaning on wanting to do that but that's going to like depend on like financial stability a lot yeah so she does want to come out and like work on something not non-studio just be her own boss so she can do more of her personal stuff as for me I don't have that much of a disconnect I think the animation I tend to end up working on is like generally cutesy and even when it's not cutesy it's not like outright Warhammer it's an extreme to say the least so I don't have that much of an issue I think my issue is that I animate so I finicle around with keyboards and the mouse on the screen and then I have to draw the storyboards and write and they all feel like three different things right animation feels like its own skill that I can't really transfer to the writing part so I feel like I'm juggling between like focusing on very different skills during the day and at night and on the weekends and gets a little crazy I haven't written a single word in like 3 weeks to be honest it's gotten overwhelming sometimes at work I think it happens with Chuni too where there'll be an influx of work at the studio and then we have to like take a break because one of us can't do it then we just sort of like okay so we'll just chill for now because you need to focus on your full-time work that happens to me too like right now I'm completely focused on my full-time work it's very hard to divert attention to writing when you're just thinking about some other things that's more technical more animation heavy personal work I'd love to quit my job I really want to get to do more personal work right I haven't been able to do that yet soon I have vague ideas about drawing comics on my own because I get very itchy you know sort of like I'm doing writing and storyboarding and then Chuni finishes everything up and I get itchy about I kind of want to just draw my own stuff too and like show that off I don't know why I just have that urge and I like cats so I have a vague idea about drawing something about cats that is all yeah
I see Chuni I'm wondering I'm very curious what you would like to do if you had more time
ก็ใช้คำว่าอะไรดีล่ะยังไงดีคือแบบเราก็ อยากจะมีเวลานั่งวาดรูปเล่นหรือทำให้งานวาดของเรามันเป็นอะไรที่แบบผ่อนคลายกว่านี้ได้เป็นตัวของตัวเองกว่านี้เช่นแบบอาจจะแบบวาดรูปลงโซเชียลหรือแบบเฮ้ย
แต่ไม่ได้มีไอเดียแบบโปรเจกต์อะไรแค่แบบยังไม่ถึงจุดนั้น
ใช่ยังไม่ถึงจุดนั้นแต่คิดว่าก็อยากจะทำงานอาร์ตที่แบบเกิดจากไอเดียตัวเองให้มากขึ้นที่ไม่ใช่งานแบบงานการตลาดอะแต่อันนี้ไม่ได้หมายถึงงานพี่นะหมายถึงว่างานจากพี่บออะไรเงี้ยคือเราสนุกแหละแต่ว่าอยากเป็นของตัวของตัวเองมากกว่าดีเลย
She says she really wants to do more personal exploration, like, of art. She doesn't have an idea of, like, what she would do yet. She just really wants to get out there and just try a bunch of stuff. Hopefully, like, get her social media going. Because we don't have, like, she doesn't have much. And she's been thinking of wanting to do that. But, like, Magical Mom, studio work just eats up all of her time. She mentioned wanting to...work on making art more of a relaxing part of her life rather than being like so stressful all the time. So just doing stuff that she wants to do on her own terms, hopefully, is what she wants. Yep, for the near future. She doesn't have ideas about like any specific projects she wants to do. Definitely just wants to try drawing a bunch of stuff that's her own, that's not Magical Mom or studio related.
Yeah, that makes sense. And
you can check her Instagram. She's got some stuff up there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll definitely, yeah. I'll definitely go follow after this.
her link is
any update.
Yeah, but her Instagram shows you a lot about how like diverse she does stuff, and it's like really cool. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
Links in the comics have her Instagram on the bottom, so.
Okay, great. Yeah, I do hope that you both can find a place where you can, you know, do the stuff that you want to be doing and, you know, not have to be worrying all the time about, like, just doing art for money, which, you know, it's part of life. It's, you know, why people go to art school, but it's also like doing art for money is sometimes kind of tough. Yeah. So...Let's see, is there anything else that you wanted to share about Magical Mom in general, or anything else that you want to say to the readers of this comic?
ก็นี่นะก็ต้องเป็นเรื่องขอบคุณแหละก็ก็ขอบคุณทุกคนที่อ่านเรื่องดีมันแบบว่ามีความหมายกับน้องมากๆอะไรอย่างนี้คือเหมือนกับปกติที่รู้สึกแย่กับตัวเองหรืออะไรอย่างนี้อย่างน้อยๆก็รู้สึกว่ามีไอ้การ์ตูนเรื่องนี้แหละที่ทำให้รู้สึกดีกับตัวเองขึ้นมาหน่อยอะไรอย่างนี้แล้วก็เราก็ชอบทำงานเรื่องนี้นะรู้สึกว่าเป็นส่วนหนึ่งในงานอ่ะมันไม่ใช่งานจ้างหรืออะไร
ออ
กไหมก็ขอบคุณทุกคนที่อ่านแล้วก็คอมเมนต์แล้วก็เราก็ดูอยู่ตลอดอะไรอย่างเง
ี้ยโอเค she wants to say that the projectIt means a lot to her, and her audience means a lot to her. So thank you for reading, because she feels like Magical Mom is one of her venues of doing like something that she feels like a part of and not like hired to do sort of thing. And, you know, reading the comments, she mentioned that, you know, whenever she's down or like struggling, she feels like she can feel uplifted, you know, reading the comments and like,reminding herself that there's a bunch of people who's following a work that she feels wholly a part of and like have ownership of rather than her studio work. So thank you, she said. That's the third time. Please keep reading. Please keep following the story. I don't know if I would say anything different. I feel similar.I struggle with like identity and self-worth and artists because I, you know, personally, I don't have a lot of thing going on like outside of my work. Like as an artist, I really don't. And Magical Mom was like the project that I started because I wanted to have something going on outside of work. And to see it like kick off like that, it feels very encouraging. And I think it must have gotten me out of a dark place somewhere a few years ago too. So thank you, readers. Thank you, everyone, for reading. I hope that I don't let anyone down in terms of the writing. I'm very unsure of myself because this is like the first written. This is the first thing I've worked on that's like long form story, right? So not like a short story. So it's very new to me. So I, you know, every comment, every feedback I get is very informative to me and very appreciated. And yeah, I just hope that I don't like screw up somewhere and then like turn this into like one of those like I was a fan of this for so long and then they screwed it up.
Well, I think so far it's, pretty great, and it feels like it's going in the right direction. So, I don't think that we have anything to worry about so far. But yeah. So, yes, thank you both for coming on the podcast. We're down to the final question, which is, do you have a magical persona of your own?
Oh, so that's now the final question. Okay.
Yeah.
So we kind of talked about how we didn't have a persona. This is very a let down, but we kind of talked about that, but then Chuni brought up ออมอย่าพูดเรื่องไอ้อะไรนะนักกล้าม
นักกล้ามอะไร
ก็ไม่รู้ก็ไอ้นักไอ้ไม่รู้อะเราแบบที่มีโบแล้วก็ตัวบึก
อ๋อ
ใช่ไหม
ไม่ก็แค่มุมมองที่มีต่อพี่แล้วก็เป็นไอ้ผู้ชายใส่แว่นดีกล้ามแล้วก็ใส่ชุดมิวสิคัลเกิร์ลทำต
โ
ั
อ
ว
เค
นิ่มๆอะไรอย่างนี้อันนั้นคือสิ่งที่มองไปที่พี่อยู่นะเอออ
่าฮะ So Chunyi mentioned that we don't actually have an official magical girl persona, but she'd like to think that she sees me as a magical girl in a way. But it's funny to her because I'm someone who like regularly go to the gym and like kind of obsessively trying to get my biceps to get look bigger. And she gets that picture mixed in with like magical mom, and now I'm just like a really big gym bro, but like with bows and frills and like the wand and stuff. And I think that's how she sees me. That's how I kind of draw myself as like the floating heads of the character too. So I guess that could be a magical persona. Personally, I think she would be like a dark magical girl. So
Oh,
like Iris,
interesting.
yeah. Because she's cool, right? She's more cool than I don't know. Not the dark part, the cool part.
Okay.
Interesting. And Chini, do you have anything else to add?
เมื่อกี้ที่บอกว่าอะไรนะน้อง
บอกว่าออมเหมือนน่าจะแบบเป็นออกแนวไอริสใช่เท่มากกว่าคิ้ว
เออขอบคุณค่ะดีและนึกว่าจะบอกว่าเป็นปาปาเลียนหรืออะไรประมาณนั้น
โอเค
ได้โอเคไม่มีอะไรหรอกก็ดีแล้ว
She says she's just glad I don't think she's like a villain or something. Yeah. Yeah.
I
She got
see.
confused there. She thought I was like smack talking right in front of her.
Oh no. Wouldn't want that. I see. Great. So, yeah, thank you both so much for coming on again. Where can people find you and your work, and how can they support you?
Like Webtoon is our biggest platform right now. We have the comic on Webtoon Canvas. Just type in Magical Mom in the search bar. I think you get that. I think if you just type in Magical Mom on Google, that works too.
I
That
think
brings up
so.
Webtoon. Yeah. We have it on Tapas. We're also currently translating some of them into Thai and then, you know, hosting it on the Thai Webtoon
Awesome.
too. We both have an Instagram. There's not much going on there. As we've mentioned, the full-time job just really sucks our souls dry. But it would be good support, I think, you know. And we whenever we try to, whenever we have time, we try to update those social media. And Patreon is something that we're currently trying to expand on, and a good way to support us is through Patreon. Beginning of the third arc, like beginning of the arc that comes about next year, we really want to figure out something more with Patreon. Right now, we don't have a lot. We have behind the scenes, if you want to see like everything from the sketches, well, from the storyboard rough to the sketches to the colors. We have process work on Patreon. And some little bit of perks there with like phone wallpaper, well, high DPI wallpapers type illustrations with all the letters removed. So it's just the images. But we would really like to start doing like FastPass. We would really like to do FastPass on Patreon, where we update episodes earlier, like 2 weeks earlier, 3 weeks earlier. So that should come soon, and that would be a great way to support us, because we don't know how Webtoon is going to monetize things going forward. They mentioned they're going to change that. I'm quite worried, actually. They said they were going to change something about how they monetize the comics of Canvas creators. And since we're still Canvas creators, we don't know what the future holds.
Yeah, it's Webtoon is always starting some stuff. I don't know. They're always doing something. So I guess I'll ask you for those links later, and we'll put those in the show notes so that people can click on over to follow you and read the webtoon and everything. But okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you both so much for coming on, and I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're very happy to be on here. Very surprising that people requested us.
Yeah.
At all. That's like very new.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Sparkle Side Chats with Magical Girl Ayu. Please subscribe, rate, and review if you like it, and don't forget to tell your friends about the show if you think they'd be interested. If you use social media, don't forget to use the hashtag SparkleSideChats when talking about and sharing the podcast. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Magical Girl Ayu, spelled A-Y-U. And you can find me at Ayu She Knows, AYUSHEKNOWS. You can also email us at sparklesidechats@gmail.com. Let us know if there's a topic you want covered or a fan or creator you want to hear from by filling out the form in the show notes. You could also join the Discord for this podcast to talk about magical girls 24/7, often chatting directly with me and both previous and upcoming guests of the podcast. Look for the link in the show notes. Show notes can be found on your platform of choice or at anchor.fm/sparkleside. If you can support the podcast financially, you can buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/ayushinos. You can also commission me for art there or buy a print on my imprint page. With a Ko-fi monthly membership, you can get bonus content, announcements about episode topics, a Discord role, and your name read aloud on the podcast monthly. Another way to support us one time is by buying something off the Amazon Japan wishlist. This helps with getting more access to Magical Girl content that we can discuss in future episodes. Feel free to purchase from the used section, as we are not picky here. Original podcast music is by Hazel. You can find her on Twitter at A Few Bruises. Thanks again for listening, and remember, you are magical.